Oh, mercy. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, St. Luke, chapter 10. If you've been walking with us over the past few weeks, we've been talking about this extreme makeover. And as a church, we've been experiencing an extreme makeover that God is doing something new, understanding that this is God's doing, not any one person is doing it. Are y'all tracking with me? All right, so we've talked about just some things that we want to see God continue to make over in our church. We're going to continue to look for God to help us make disciples. Praise the Lord. We need people who are going to be faithful followers of Jesus, who are unashamed of the gospel. Praise the Lord. We want people who are going to be willing to share the gospel. You need to, first of all, know the gospel before you go and try to tell somebody. Can I get a witness up in here? Don't run out of here trying to tell somebody about Jesus and you've never experienced him yourself. Oh, Lord. Okay, let me stop. We have folks running out of here and say, yeah, Jesus. And they're like, what about him? I don't know. He just said something about him today. Let's know something about Jesus. Let's know something about the gospel. So we're called to all be evangelists. Amen. I also want God to do an extreme work makeover in our worship. We don't look at worship as just an event. That's not just a Sunday morning occurrence. We look for God every day, and therefore we worship God. Are y'all tracking with me? So we're not talking about an event worship, but we're talking about a lifestyle of worship. So, and that makes our corporate worship so much better. So today we're going to talk about extreme makeover, unexpected addition. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 10, and we're going to pick up at verse 30. But let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your presence. We're grateful, God, for who you are, and God, what you're able to do in our life. God, thank you for our opportunity to gather together to worship. God, thank you for the opportunity, God, to lift you up. God, we don't want to miss the moment that you have given us. And God, today, God, we've committed to worship you. And God, we felt your presence. God, we know that you're always near. But God, we're so grateful, God, when we can feel that you're near. And so, God, thank you for that. So, God, would you speak to our hearts today? Would you edify this body of believers? God, and then also, we pray, God, that as in response to that, God, that we would be obedient to what you have to say to us. May it not fall on deaf ears, but God, may it penetrate our heart and that it would manifest itself in our hands. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As the story goes, a pastor decided to step outside to greet his parishioners, to love on them, to say he was just so grateful to see them. He sees one of his brothers that he had not seen in a long time. And he says to the brother, he says, hey, man, I need you to join the army of the Lord. And the brother leans over to him. He says, I am in the army of the Lord. And he says, well, why do I only see you at Christmas and Easter? And the brother leans over to the pastor. He says, because I'm Secret Service. And I just believe that in the church of Jesus Christ, he is not looking for Secret Service saints. He is looking for saints who will be a visible presence in a dying, lost world. If you write down Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he tells us that he wants us to be the light in the world. He does not want us to sit idly by, but he wants us to be a visible presence, not just in our words. We have a lot of people who's doing a lot of talking, but not doing anything. And the way we become the light, the way we show forth that we're the light, is by doing things that ordinarily people wouldn't want to do. It's about willing, and y'all better write this down, it's about willing to serve people. Oh my. God is looking for people who are not just in the lip service business, but in the people serving business. And in a culture that we're in today, there are some people who are so filled with themselves that they don't have time to think about anybody else except for themselves. And what greater witness for a believer than to go and serve somebody else outside of yourself? Now, I think we have a good, we have it down on serving ourselves. You ain't got to say amen. We know how to serve ourselves, but serving someone else means that you have to look outside of your own self and out of your own desires and needs and see somebody else and see their needs. Turn with me before we get into Luke. I'm sorry, I was going to not read this, but I'm going to read it because I read it this morning. But I want to read this passage in Isaiah 58. And you can write it down, turn with me. Isaiah 58, and we're going to pick up at verse 6, then we'll come back to Luke. But I want you to read this because this it says a lot about being the light. Everybody say the light. Isaiah 58, verse 6, he says this. Is not this the fast that I choose? Look at this. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free. I love this. And to break every yoke. Oh, my God. Verse 7, he says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? Oh, my God. It's in your Bible if you hadn't torn it out. I'm looking right at it, Cynthia. Then peep game, watch what he says. When you see the naked, he says, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. He says, when you see it, don't run and hide. When you see a need, he says, don't run and hide, but rather run to. We're not going to get a lot of amens on this today. It's going to be rough. Verse 8, he says, then shall your light, look at that, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall guard you. Oh, my gosh. Then you shall call, and look at this, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, and I love this, here I am. Boy, it's good to know that you can cry out to the Lord. And he says, here I am. And he says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of your finger, or point of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light, look at that, then shall your light rise. In the darkness. But notice that light rises when you pour yourself out on the hungry and satisfy those who are afflicted. And then he says, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord, look at this, will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. So as we pour ourselves out, God is not going to make sure that we go empty. Oh, gosh. As we pour our resources out on somebody else, the Lord is going to make sure that we don't go empty. Oh, my gosh. Okay, let me move on. Then he says, I'll make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Y'all got to read this. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And it goes on. And I can read the rest of this. But it gives us a very clear picture of the expectations, not for us to just perform religious duties. We can be about fasting. But don't let your fasting make you forget that you still got to help somebody else. Because we have a lot of people who can do church. We have a lot of people who can show up in the Sunday service. But we don't have enough people who's willing to serve somebody who is in desperate need. It's going to be rough today. And so what the Lord is looking for are people to be the light. Everybody say, be the light. And I'm wondering, and I just want to take a quick poll. You don't raise your hand if it's not true, because I don't want you to lie in church. But I'm curious to know, how many times have you prayed to the Lord, Lord, help me to be the light today? Praise the Lord. Can I be human for a moment? I don't always pray that prayer. Don't throw me out just yet. Don't throw me out just yet. But I think what God is looking for is for his people who says that they are followers of Jesus Christ to do the unexpected, and that's expected. That we ought to look for opportunities to do for somebody else more than we do for ourselves. The problem is that we are so self-absorbed in our own world that we ignore the people right around us who's crying out, somebody please help me. I'm in a bad situation. But I wonder if most of our prayers are more self-centered. Oh God, would you bless me indeed, enlarge my territory? Would you bless my family? Would you help me with on my job to deal with these no good, I mean, these co-workers of my. Because you know what I'm about to deal with when I go in there today, Lord. Would you help me? Love people. And so often we miss out on those opportunities. To say, well, God, would you reveal to me the moments that I need to slow down and serve somebody else? That it's not just about what I want, but God, what you want to do through me. You see, we're just a conduit, so we have our hands open. God works through us to work to other people, to be a witness to him, because as we become the light, it's not to shed light on us, but to glorify him. Oh, my. And so as we look at Luke chapter 10, this is all about serving somebody other than yourself. Jesus was all about serving people. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. And as we look at Luke chapter 10, let's give some context for this. As we begin this portion, what's happening is Jesus is having a conversation with someone. Can I pause here to say this? Don't be afraid to have a conversation with somebody. I'm going to say it like I'm down home. You ain't that busy. I mean, you're not that busy to where you can't even have a conversation. Jesus was constantly being overwhelmed by people following him, needing something from him, but it didn't stop him from being able to just have a conversation with somebody. And he has this conversation with this very religious, astute lawyer. And we're not talking about a modern-day lawyer. But we're talking about a lawyer who was an expert in the Mosaic and the rabbinical law. He knew the word. And so because he knew the word, he had to ask a question. What do I have to do to gain eternal life? In so many words, what he's asking, what must I do to be saved? And you have to be careful when you have somebody around you that asks you a question that they already think they have the answer to. And this lawyer had this question already figured out. But he did that so he could try to tempt and to test Jesus. But Jesus, and I love how Jesus is so cool. He's not easily rattled. Like, we get rattled. If somebody say something sideways or ask us a question that we don't want to answer, I ain't got time for that. You ain't got to say, man, I know how we do. Okay, let me move on. Y'all acting bad and bougie today. All right, let me move on. All right. Some of y'all had no idea what I just said. Y'all just like, just some of y'all just said amen because you heard somebody else say amen. Lord, help us today. So Jesus, being the cool, calm, cool guy, he says, what does the law say? Because he knew that the guy was an expert on the law. He says, what does the law say? And this was what this lawyer says. He says, check it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself. And I love what Jesus replied. He says, boom, you got it, Doc. It's all you. Now go and do it. Now when Jesus says that, you got to understand the context. When he says, I understood the law, he was saying that because you understand it, you got to do all the law. Not just the ones you like doing. Not the ones you feel like doing. But he says, there's 613. You better do all of them. And you got to love how this, you know, lawyers are smooth then, and some of them are still smooth today. So I love what he does. He says, well, Jesus, who's my neighbor? I got you. I got you. Because, see, here's the thing that I've learned. When you read this passage, it's hard to determine how much, if somebody really loved the Lord. That's not something you can easily measure. It's not anything you can easily see, because anybody can lie and say they love the Lord. I mean, think about when you watch award shows. They get up and say, I want to thank the Lord who's ahead of my life. And they just lying. I mean, can I be transparent? I mean, just lying. The Lord is not the head of nothing in their life. But they want to suggest that they really do know the Lord. And I love the Lord. But the other one is a little harder to, is more easier to measure, because you can see how somebody loved their neighbor. Oh my gosh. And here's the thing. Whoever you come into contact with is your neighbor. Anybody that you come into contact with is your neighbor. Oh my. And so he says, okay, I got to pause, because now he's getting in my Kool-Aid. He's telling me I got to do something now. We got to do something. Everybody say, we got to do something. So let's look at verse 30, and then we'll be done. I'll do my best. Verse 30, Jesus replied after this dialogue. A man was going down, so he's giving this parable. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest, oh, praise the Lord for the priests, was going down the road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The preacher. I'm sorry, priest. It says priest. I'm sorry, my bad. Let me fix that. The priest, this is in the Bible, it's the priest. Verse 32, so likewise a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed by on the other side. Look what he did. He came to the place and saw him and decided to cross over the road. Verse 33, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, and you may want to highlight this online, and he had compassion. Everybody say compassion. Verse 34, he went to him, and I love this, bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he didn't stop there, y'all. He kept on. He says, then he set him on his whip, I mean on his animal, and brought him to an inn and took care of this brother. And the next day he took out 2 denarii. He just kept going. Oh my. And gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of this bruh. And whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back. Then he asked the question, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And I'm sure he got a little dry throat right there. See, what happened is, he says, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says to him, because he was afraid, you can almost feel that he was hesitant to say this, because you knew that was going to be a new expectation. Because here's what I'm learning, that when you have a truth revealed to you, it raises your expectation. It raises what you're supposed to do. It raises your responsibility, because when you know the truth, you have to do the truth. Oh, Lord. So, doing the expected is simple, Well, let me say it like this. Doing the unexpected is not easy, but it's simple to understand. The first thing you got to do if you're going to do the unexpected is that first you got to learn to stop. Everybody say stop. Now, because we live in such a fast-paced world, it's hard for us to stop. You can say amen right there. Because you know how we get to going and moving and doing, and we don't slow down to stop. So if we're going to learn how to be compassionate, if we're going to learn to do the unexpected, the first thing we have to learn how to do is just stop. So that means that we have to reorganize our life in such a way that it forces us to pay attention to what's happening around us. Here's how most of us go. We move so fast that we cannot see a person, nor can we see their need. Oh, okay. Let me give you an example. Yemi, let me borrow you for a quick second. Years ago, I was in seminary, and in seminary, you have a lot of reading, a lot of writing to do, okay? And I was on such a pace. I was leaving class. I stayed up late. But I was hungry. I had to go get something to eat. And there was a brother named Kevin. This is not Kevin, y'all. And I see him. For some reason, the Spirit made me slow down to see Kevin. Because normally, because I'm thinking, I got to get back home. I got to get back to this paper. I got to turn in by tomorrow morning. I would have totally ignored Kevin. But it's almost like the Spirit began to slow me down long enough to see Kevin and to see that he looked hungry. And I said, Kevin, would you like to get something to eat? Sure. Good job, Kevin. And Kevin and I, we go into the store. Now, Kevin stays at a distance because he's suspicious of me. Look how you start backing up. Did y'all see that? That was not playing that way, okay? But because he didn't know me, he questioned my motives. And so I go in, I say, hey, what do you want? He keep moving back. Let's order. So Kevin, we make our order, and I go in and have a seat, and Kevin is just standing there. I said, no, Kevin, come on, have a seat. Reluctantly, notice how reluctantly he is. He comes and have a seat, and we begin to have dinner, and I start to ask questions. I'm not going to go into all the details, but in that moment, we shared space with each other. And then watch this. As we leave, y'all know I'm a hugger, right? That's my in my DNA. So I reach out to hug him because, you know, Kevin was dirty. He smelled. This not Kevin. So I don't want y'all thinking that he's dirty and he smelled. Okay, still hug Yemi today, all right? And I hug him. So hug me. Let's change rope. So he hugged me. Hug me again. Did y'all see Kevin? I'm Kevin now. Did you see it? He didn't want to embrace because here's the thing. He hadn't had anybody to embrace him in so long. I think what the Lord revealed to me even in that moment, even now, was that more than filling his belly, was that he needed somebody that was willing to just share space and time with him. And be willing to embrace him just like he was. I didn't say, okay, Kevin, you got to go get a shower first. It was in the moment I embraced him and I loved on him. And what God is looking for are people who's not just going to investigate deeply about the need, but willing to engage the need deeply. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Yemi. Hey, give Yemi a hand for doing such a fantastic job. And so our compassion must force us to slow down so that we might be able to see the person and then be able to see their need. One of my visiting professors gave us a term that they use in South Africa. He says it's a term called Ubuntu. Everybody say Ubuntu. And what that suggests, that rather than greeting one another, hey, how you doing, and really don't want to know, you know, we really don't want to know how they're doing. We just say that as a formality. Really, don't tell me how you're doing is really what they want to say. But he says, rather than greeting each other like that, they would say Ubuntu, which was to suggest that my humanity is wrapped up in your humanity. That I see you as a person.
You are valuable. You are made in God's image, and you matter. So as people, we got to learn to slow down to see people. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Slow down. See people. And then you'll be responsible for seeing the need. So what we see is that this brother's robbed. He's beaten down. He's broken down to his brake pads. I mean, his life is all a mess. He needs help. And three brothers roll up on him. The first one we see is the priest, also known as the preacher. He doesn't even come to the brother. He glances at him, but he doesn't look at him. Y'all know there's a difference between glancing at someone and looking at them. I just believe that many of us know how we've mastered glancing at people. I see. Man, we're better than Barry Sanders. I mean, at some point. But looking at people means that you have to pay attention and see more than that moment, but be able to see what is it that they are really in need of. Are y'all tracking with me? So this preacher who had a very powerful responsibility, he had a responsibility to perform religious duties. Matter of fact, let's just say he's a religious leader. And if anybody should have demonstrated compassion, it's got to start with the leader. The person who's up front, who's performing. And there ought to be times when we see a leader serve somebody. You ain't got to say amen. So this leader ignores this brother. And history has suggested that maybe because he's a priest and he has to handle certain things, that if he went to this brother and he was dead, maybe they would have made this preacher ceremonially unclean. That sounds real good. That sounds real good. But what we do, we want to look at our watch, and we have every reason to not slow down, to pay attention to a need. And so we glance at him. And then the Bible says in verse 32, a Levite rose up on him, and he looked at him. You got to appreciate what he did. He at least came up to him. I'm just using my Holy Ghost imagination. Well, it's a shame. It's for people to do you like that and leave you like that. I'm going to pray for you. I mean, don't laugh, because that's what we do sometimes. We'll come into, we see somebody crying. Oh, baby, it's a shame that you're in pain. I'm going to pray for you. And then we make it seem like that makes us spiritually deep. And maybe in that moment, what they needed was not you to just say, that's a shame, poor thing, that you may have to just embrace them. I'm here for you. Or just put your hand on them and just touch them. Because there is power in a touch. Especially one when you have a believer who's filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, if you touch somebody, the peace of God can move on somebody. But you have to be willing to not just look at them, but you got to look at them and be willing to engage them. Now, before we get too hard on them, we're not going to call them monsters. We're not going to call them evil. We're not going to call them bad people. They probably were very good people, but maybe they just didn't have the time to deal with him. And I think we got too many good people who's not evil, who's not bad, that just don't make the time for folk. Make a commitment today. I'm going to make time for people. Everybody say, make time. So in verse 33, we see the second point of this. So you first got to stop. Everybody say, stop. Second point, and we're going to emphasize, is you got to look. Everybody say, look. Now, what's interesting is that it's a Samaritan that looks at him and begins to engage the need. The reason why this is an issue is because Samaritans and Jews didn't get along. They were like rivals. They were like kind of like a rival game, not like bad game, like breakdancing game. I mean, you know, y'all know what a breakdancing gang is? I mean, they bad, but not so bad they're going to hurt you. They'll look at you real mad, like, they'll give you the evil look, but they're not really going to do anything. They're going to settle it by battling it out. So the Jews and the Samaritans, they didn't really fight each other. They didn't kill each other, but they really didn't get along with one another. But what is so interesting is that this enemy is the one who helps him. So we don't have to put this prerequisite that you have to know them to help them. Oh my gosh. We don't even have to come from the same place. We don't have to do the same things. We don't have to live in the same place. That is not a prerequisite to help somebody. You just got to be willing to help somebody. Everybody say, help somebody. So although this brother didn't get along with him, it didn't stop him from showing compassion. The Bible says compassion is something that is deep. It's not something that you just feel and it flies away. Compassion says that you're moved all the way to the inside of your being. Write down Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Write down Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Notice what Jesus says. When he saw the crowds, the Bible says he had compassion for them. Jesus had to look at the people, see their situation, and he saw what kind of place they were in, and he doesn't ignore them. He sees them and he sees their need. He says, and the Bible says, he was moved to the inner being of who he was. And I'm wondering, as a people, do we have that kind of compassion that says, I see how bad the situation is. I see how bad your situation is. And I'm willing to not run away from it, but run to it. And I think one of the things that Jesus shows us, that he's not only willing to see it, but he's able to run to it. And I'm so glad that Jesus is in the business of running to broken places. God almighty. Because our testimony is that we once was broken. And the Lord did not leave us in that situation. Oh, praise God for that. But what he did, he didn't run away from when he saw Steve, but he ran to Steve because he saw what kind of situation I was in. And he says, I'm not afraid of that. I'm not scared of you. But matter of fact, I'm going to transform you. And I just believe that God is looking for people who's not going to run away when it gets hard, but rather you're going to run to the situation. Because sometimes it's not easy helping somebody. You ain't got to say amen. Sometimes it's not easy when you got to help somebody because it forces you to give up something. And because we live in a society right now where we hoard and hold on to stuff, we don't want to share anything. You ain't got to say amen. I see the extra storage all over town. And I seen some of y'all going into them. Praise the Lord. Anytime you have storage facilities that's called extra attic, that's a problem. If you can't say amen, just say ouch. Some of y'all thinking right now, I got to go home and got to get some of the stuff out of my house because I know the pastor was talking to me today. Let the Lord use you. Let the Lord. I just feel a spirit of purging right now in the name of Jesus. Just, hey. I feel you purging your house right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. And maybe that's part of the reason why you cannot host a home. Oh, God. I'm sorry. That was out of bounds. Ooh, Jesus. Somebody. Lord, help me today. Lord, help me. Hey, Ed, you better be ready this afternoon. Y'all pray for me. But when this brother sees this broken brother, the Bible suggests that he was moved to the core of his being. He didn't allow his difference to cause him to not help him. He didn't allow the difference to determine how he was going to treat this brother. And far too many times, we've been guilty of letting differences dictate how we treat people. Oh my gosh. He doesn't say, hey, you're my enemy. I can't help you. This brother says, you're in need, and I see you as a person. When you see a person as God sees them, you take off all the other stuff. Because when you start looking at people, how God looks at them, he sees them but he's willing to meet them where they are and not leave them there. So we got to stop. Everybody say stop. Secondly, we got to look. Everybody say look. But then lastly, we got to hasten, meaning that we have to move quickly. Compassion does something. Compassion doesn't just say, oh, po thing, but compassion makes you want to do something. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Compassion doesn't just say, I'm going to pray about it. And y'all know how I feel about that. Don't ever, you know, I mean, can I call a timeout for a moment? So if I ask you to do something for me, can you please be willing to help me? Because that's the response. Hey, can you help me wash this truck? Let me pray about that, preacher. Let me get back to you on that. I got to wait for the Lord to reveal to me that I can help you wash that truck. You know, and one of the things I've learned about Jesus, there were times when he just moved in the moment, and then there were moments he prayed before he acted. So the little boy with the 2 fish, 5 loaves, he took it. What did he do? He lifted, he blessed it, he prayed for it before he began to distribute it. But then he came upon people who were leprous. He didn't have to pray about that situation. When he saw people who were blind, he didn't pray about that situation. When he saw people who were lame, he didn't pray about the situation because he knew that he had the capacity to do something for that person. We have too many people who just pray about stuff when they have the capacity to do something. God has put within you already enough to do what he's already called you to do. You don't have to pray about everything. Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. Some of y'all already saying, oh, Pastor, you got to get out of here with that. I pray continue without ceasing, Pastor. I pray all the time. Oh, hey, shout out. I mean, no, uh-uh. Come on now. I mean, yes, there are times we ought to always be praying. Amen? But that does not require a prayer session to do everything. This brother sees him. He doesn't just say, oh, gosh, let me go find a prayer partner. Ooh, this is deep right here. Hey, let's pray. Hey, we got to get 2 or 3 to gather together. Because that's when the Spirit of the Lord is. I mean, we start saying all these spiritual things to make it sound like we're spiritual deep. And all God is looking for are people who's willing to do something in the moment. Don't wait. And his brother didn't go find a prayer circle or anything. He knew that God had given him the resources to help. And guess what he did? He helped. And then he just didn't stop with helping right then. He continued to help this brother. He continued in a very practical way. Look what he does. He treated the injuries. He lifted him up and put him on his animal, form of transportation. Some of y'all are like, whip? What is a whip? It's a vehicle, it's a car, it's a slang. Okay, let me move on. He set him up in a Holiday Inn. No, it's not that kind of inn. But this, let me describe what an inn was back then. It was a place that was on a well-traveled road. So it gives you the sense that this place was accessible. Like people who were going up and down the road could go into this inn. Specifically those who were weary from traveling. Oh, my gosh. And when they got in that place, watch this. That was a place of refuge and rest. The modern-day inn that should be in existence right now is the church. It must be a place that's accessible for anybody. Oh, my gosh. That does not matter. Where you come from, it does not matter your background, it doesn't matter your economic status, it doesn't matter your social status, it doesn't matter any of these things. All that matters is that anybody from any place can come into the house of the Lord and not have to worry about some things. Especially those, and I love this, especially those who are weary, those who are tired, ought to be able to come into this place and not stay tired. But in the house, it should be a place of refuge and rest. And I pray that as our church, that will be true. That when you come here, that this is a place of refuge and rest, not mess. But last thing, and I got to be done. But compassion also costs you something. You ain't got to say amen on this. Because this brother went out of his way to help this brother. Because he didn't just stop at helping him right then. Oh, and I love this. But he continued to make sure that this brother was going to be completely restored. So in a sense, he left his credit card right there on the table. If there's anything else, I got this. I got this. And really, when you think about it, this Samaritan is kind of a type of Jesus when you think about it. Because remember, Samaritans were not celebrated. They were despised. Y'all know that, right? They weren't looked favorably upon. This Samaritan comes with the ability to help a situation out. Oh, my gosh. And he cared for the victim. Do y'all hear that? He cared for the victim. And he provided for future needs. See, that's exactly what Jesus does for us. That he sees the situation that we're in. He sees us. He cares for us. The Bible says that he was also despised and rejected. And yet, Jesus has the power to provide for our future needs. Our Father knows how to take care of his children. Amen? And what we need are some people who are going to be compassionate to do the unexpected, because that's what's expected of you. Amen? Can we be a church that serves people? Amen? Are we going to be a church that serve people? Amen. It starts with us. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for the example that you have set in your word. God, that this brother who used what little he had to be a blessing for somebody else. Father, we realize, God, that you have provided us with many resources. But, Lord, we understand that you are the source. So, God, that we don't run lacking because we give. Matter of fact, your word reminds us, God, that it's better to give than to receive. God, may we be a people who's about giving to people, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our trust. God, whatever it requires, God, may we be a people that's willing to share, God. God, thank you for the heart of our church, God. That we want to be a place, God, where people can find rest and experience a refuge, God. God, I declare that right now, God, that this be a safe place for all people, God. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter, Lord. And God, many of us see ourselves as that good Samaritan, but God, there may be somebody here today, God, that sees themselves as the man who's on the road. That life has beaten them down, robbed them of many joys of life, that they feel hopeless. God, we thank you that you are the better Samaritan, that you are able to meet us right where we are, but not only meet us where we are, but you have the power to restore us, God. So, Father, we pray right now. We intercede right now, God, for that person who feels beaten down. God, would you speak to their heart right now, Lord, and let them know, God, that you are the good Savior who redeems and restores. God, you have not forgotten them. God, would you whisper in their heart and in their spirit, God, that you love them, and nothing can change that. There's nothing that they have done or will do that will separate you from their love, God. God, we thank you for your abiding love, God. So, Father, would you draw them to you today? If they haven't trusted you for the first time, God, would you speak to their heart? God, if they've backslidden, God, would you reclaim them right now, Father? Church, as we're praying, we want to give that person or persons an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says,
Well, not the Bible. The song says he got up so that we can get up. And God, even if they're down, the Spirit of the Lord can get them up, Lord. So if that's you, if you hear the Lord speaking to your heart, you say, I'm that down person that you're describing, and I need to be lifted up. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, would you raise your hand right where you are? If you're saying, I need the Lord to lift me out of my situation. I'm down, I'm depressed, I'm struggling, I have no idea where to turn, but I need the Lord. Thank you for raising your hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And the beautiful thing is God is faithful. He is faithful. That didn't have to be some big thing, but God can do something right where you are. For those persons who are saying they need the Lord, would you just lift your hands right where you are? Just lift your hands high. Thank you. And would you receive the presence of the Lord in your life right now? Because you made a decision, and the sign of lifting your hand said, I'm surrendering all. I said, I'm not trusting myself anymore. I don't have the power or the ability to save myself and get myself out of the situation I'm in right now. But I'm going to trust that Jesus is able to lift me up. And church, we're praying for these lifted hands, that God would lift them right now, that they would experience the newness of life that's only found in Jesus Christ. You can search for all the things in this world. Nothing will satisfy you like the Lord can. And your decision today to say, I want to trust the Lord today, God will meet you right here and right now. Simply believe. Believe on Jesus Christ. Believe on Jesus Christ, and he will do a new thing in your life. Father, thank you for the hands that were lifted. God, we thank you, God, for giving them the courage to surrender today. Father, would you begin to do a new thing in them even right now as we're praying, God, that they sense, God, the burdens are getting lighter, that the yoke is being lifted off of them, that they're feeling a little freer than they felt before they came in here, God, because they met you, Lord. God, we thank you for your power. Thank you for your strength that's made perfect in our weakness. So Lord, would you tell them right now where they are that they don't have to trust their strength because their strength is going to fail them. But if they trust you, God, you can do some things in their life that will blow them away. God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for your power. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you celebrate the Lord with me for those hands that were lifted? Amen.